It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name's Jordan Parhar, and I'm with you once again to talk some BB Can 4 on robhasawebsite.com. Today, I am joined by somebody who I played some Big Brother with, a good friend of mine. They call her Slayha. Some people compared her to Grumpy Cat, but she's definitely not grumpy. She's cheery this evening because she loves talking about BB as much as I do. It's Neha Sareen, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everyone!
Neha, how's it going? How's your Wednesday night treating you?
It's amazing. I just watched Big Brother, so it's got to be good, right?
Got to be good, right? So Wednesdays are so great. You know, we get Survivor and then Big Brother, like, just back-to-back. It really is just such a great night, really. I love it so much. And as always, we're joined by a live feed correspondent today, joined by my good buddy Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm good, Jordan. Yeah, Wednesday's a great night for TV. I just get to, you know, sit back on my bosom and watch some great programming here.
Alex, did you see that tweet Taryn sent out saying that they can't talk about bosoms because apparently I have the best one?
Yeah, I did see that. I think Joel was looking for a different word. I want to say bustle is the one he was going for.
Right. Is that bustle. The word, Neha, for what Joel was trying to describe?
I have no idea if that's what you call that.
But it's not bosom. It's definitely not bosom. Like, I feel like bosom would be like breasts or like your butt or your heart or something, but not what he was describing.
It's a frontal term.
Just to set things up for you guys, we're going to be talking about the latest Big Brother Canada 4 episode, so no spoilers. We'll not be talking about the live feeds until later on in the show. We'll give you a bit of a heads up in case you want to scooch out of there and get off on your bosoms or whatever we want to call it and not watch the rest of this episode. Reminder, we are live. We're on a Google Hangout tonight, so don't forget to send us your questions. Hopefully we can get into those later on in the show. So you can send those questions in two ways. You can tweet me using hashtag RehappyHour, and I'm at Jordan Parhar on Twitter, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video below. So click on the link to this YouTube video, go over to YouTube, leave a comment, and type in your question there. We've also got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com, so make sure you drop by there and participate. Chat room's always fun. Love to see what you guys have to say. Okay, guys, let's jump right into it. So, power veto. Dallas wins again. And he decides not to use the power veto, even though, again, Neha, it seems like Dallas thinks that if he uses the veto, he gets to decide who gets to go up on the block, because he's talking about, right? Like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to put, we're going to put Jared up there, and we're going to have the king sit next to the queen. What do you think about this now? This is two vetoes in a row that Dallas has won. Is this a fluke, or does Dallas need to be taken seriously, Neha?
I mean, with these challenges, it could be a fluke. It could be, like, some skill involved. You never really know. It depends on the challenge. But, I mean, I think he is someone who's, like, a dominant character in the game right now. So, I mean, I wouldn't count him out by any means.
Yeah, he was a guy who a lot of, I mean, I was kind of writing this guy off really early on just based on the game.
I did too, man.
Neha was tweeting saying, hey, you guys hating on Jordan Parhar's game, watch Dallas and see what he's doing.
Yeah, I was like, who is this fucking guy? Like, what are you doing? But, I mean, you know, it all depends, like, who you end up even playing with, right? Who gets on your side, what other wars are going on in the house, you never know.
You really never know, and every season's different. That's what we love about Big Brother. Alex, we saw on the show tonight, Dallas basically told Kelsey, hey, I'm not going to use the veto on you, and Kelsey was, like, super upset, and she's like, oh, wow, my game might be over, I can't believe it, and they had, like, you know, like the sad music that Big Brother Canada always plays, the generic sad music, as Kelsey's realizing in the DR she's going to go home. Did Kelsey actually think on the feeds, Alex, that Dallas might have used the veto on her?
I don't know. I mean, I think there is an element of Kelsey's game that's certainly very naive. I mean, I know she hasn't watched very much Big Brother, certainly compared to some of the other people in the house. And so I think, you know, I've even heard her say, like, man, I really should have watched more before I went in. But, you know, there's definitely, I think a big part of it, too, was just, like, I mean, she approached them kind of in a group, and, like, she's there. It felt like kind of a safe place to approach because the people he's talking with there are Cassandra and Mitch, who are, like, kind of on her side more so than not, you know what I mean? But, you know, the fact that he was just kind of, like, shutting her down in that moment, I think, was kind of embarrassing to a degree, too. So then at that moment, you know, it really is just kind of setting in like, the whole feeling of, like, oh, man, this might be it, you know?
For sure. Yeah, she was really, I mean, she was really upset, too. Like, not even, like, just about that, but just, like, the nomination in general. Like, she started crying afterwards. Raul was very emotional. Neha, correct me if I'm wrong, but did anybody cry last year when they got nominated?
I don't think anyone did. I mean, I don't, as far as I know, I mean, I wasn't there that long, but I don't,
but,
I
like,
can't imagine
I don't,
they did.
No,
not,
right?
On the feeds, no one was really crying.
No, right? I mean, we, yours truly was crying, you know, during the week I was going, oh, mind you, I was on slop and had a million other things going on, but it wasn't about the nomination, whereas, yeah, Kelsey and Raul both crying last year, didn't really see that at all, so it's interesting when you get a lot of these people who do not know the game as well, and I feel like maybe perhaps they take it a little bit more personally
yes.
when they get nominated compared yeah. to diehard fans like you and I, right? Like when the super fans of the game, they understand, hey, it's a game, it's not a personal thing, this is just whatever, what happens. And in fairness, too, and like, Neha, you could have cried. I mean, if I was you, I probably would have cried considering
you know,
the circumstances.
You don't want to know what kind of tears came out of me after the fact, but okay, let's not go there. But I do, it's bad, but like, the naivety really shows because, like, Kelsey was just so, like, I don't understand. Like, I was so good to this guy. Like, there are people that don't even talk to him. Like, why would he do this? Like, she could not even grasp that, hey, maybe Joel did this because this is good for his game. Like, that's not even an option for this girl. So it just kind of shows that, you know, she really doesn't maybe get the concept of it, and it is more of, like, an emotional thing for her. And maybe also it shows that she really doesn't know what's going on around her in her own home that she's living in because she doesn't realize that, hey, Joel is, like, playing the game, and Joel is maybe with other people as well.
It's really interesting, that this whole Joel thing. And before I go off on this Joel tangent that I want to go in, people in the chat are saying Willow last year, the triple. That was one. I don't know if Willow cried until after she got voted out. But I forgot about that. Willow was super emotional. Right. Triple. But that, again, understandable. It's a little bit of a unique circumstance where, you know, you're in, like, a prime position in the game, and then the next thing you know, you're out the door.
Yeah, I think it's the worst to go out when it's unexpected. Like, I can totally understand Willow crying at that point. Like, I can understand myself crying. Like, you are not supposed to go home in your eyes, right? And
yeah.
all of a sudden, like, you're out the door. Like, that's, like, hard.
Yeah, exactly. Or Bruno. Like, if Bruno would have cried.
Bruno should have cried.
He should have, because he basically went from, and we can go on, that's another podcast for another day. But yes, those circumstances, I think, are a little bit different. But to bring up the Joel thing, I found this to be really interesting, Neha, because Joel really was adamant. He had to keep reiterating to Jared and the third wheel that, hey, these are my nominations, yet still, the third wheel blames LaVita for this entire thing.
Yeah.
Do you think Joel should have just been like, you know what, hey, guys, you're right, it was LaVita, it wasn't my fault. Should he have thrown LaVita under the bus, or do you like the fact that Joel was saying, no, I want to show you I am my own player?
No, I think that he should have just played the middle. When Jared came at him, he should have kind of been like, well, I can't really say much about it, you know. Like, it's kind of played off as if, yes, LaVita did put this in my head, and I'm so timid and shy, and, like, I can't do anything about it. I'm just this weak guy. That's what he should have done. Like, I would have never been like, yeah, you know what, this is me, it's my game, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? So I think that he should have played it a little differently. But honestly, it might not even matter. Like, they're looking at him as if he's nothing. Like, he couldn't have done it on his own. So it really maybe makes no difference.
Yeah, right? I mean, and that is such a huge advantage in this game, is how people perceive you,
yeah.
right? I mean, Joel is a guy who And you would think, Neha, that based on the you know, Steve Moses just coming fresh off of Big Brother 17, winning that game, Ian Terry wins Big Brother 14. I mean, Sarah Hanlon is a super fan with glasses who wins Big Brother Canada 3. You would think that they would be much more threatened by Joel, but instead, they kind of just completely write him off.
Yeah.
It's a very, very interesting scenario. Alex, this whole thing going down on the feeds, from that perspective, when this fight happened with Jared and Levita, were the feeds up for that?
Yeah.
Did you see that? How long did this fight last? Was this whole sequence we saw on the show? It seemed like it all happened pretty much like within a brief amount of time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it was relatively quick. I mean, certainly, you know, Jared and Levita have a conversation, and they're both approaching it from like opposite perspectives in place of tension. So it blows up pretty quickly once they sit down with each other, to the point where he calls her disgusting. Like, that's not a big gap. Then she goes in the HOH, and she's in there kind of like being consoled for a little while. And I guess they kind of like yada yada through that part a bit. But yeah, and then you see, I mean, it wasn't that long before Joel decides like, all right, I'm just going to go out there and tell them, you know, how this really went down. But yeah, I mean, Neha makes a great point about like somehow, even if he comes out and makes that statement, he's still, you know, seeming blameless in their eyes, which I don't know if it just says something about kind of Joel and his mannerisms or the type of person he is, or if it just says something to these people don't know the game that well, but yeah.
Or they're good for Levita, right?
Or they have it in for Levita. Yeah, great point.
Neha, what do you think about now moving forward for Joel's game? Because a little bit risky at the start of the week, you know, taking a shot, first winning HOH when you're in such a good position as Joel was, but then he takes a big shot at the third wheel. But now for me, I feel like just based on what we're seeing, Joel he's not getting any of the repercussions he's not going to have to deal with that, at least from the remnants of the third wheel. And the rest of the house seems to really respect him. Do you find this move to be similar to Brittany last year taking out Greg around this same time?
But did Brittany have any – oh, Brittany didn't have any slack on her either, right? You guys just fell back and said, okay, yeah, it's just Brittany. It's just Brittany. Brittany's the ultimate pawn. Like, you looked at her as if, like, not you, but, like, the people in the house looked at her as if, like, she's no big deal. And that's...
Exactly.
100%. He is gonna, like, and not even that. It's not even gonna be like, oh, Brittany's no big deal, Joel's no big deal. It's gonna be like, Joel's no big deal, but Joel is so liked by the whole house. Whereas I think Brittany's still, like, people that weren't on her side still, like, would have gone against her, but I feel like Joel still is going to be, like, one of the last people you'd go against. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's in the house, and he's just going to, like, sit right back in the theater and just watch the show.
Yeah, and then we also did see there was an element of, you know, certainly Mitch articulates very well in the diary room, but really emphasized how, you know, he has a stake in this vote more so than kind of in previous votes, and he was making an active effort to try to, you know, throw Levita under the bus to the third wheel group. So the fact that Joel had Mitch going to bat for him, without even Joel even really realizing that Mitch was doing it, Mitch was doing it for his game, but it also, like, benefits Joel's game by proxy. So it really worked to further mask the idea that Joel is the bad guy here.
For sure. And how can you know? I mean, how could anyone really? How can you think Joel's the bad guy? How can you not love Joel, right, Neha? Isn't he great? He's amazing. I love Joel so much. He's such a thrill watching that guy play this game. Let's talk about one thing that there's actually a few things from the veto competition, or after the veto, we should talk about. The first thing is the whole Jared situation. So we're in this veto competition. They have to make the best poker hand, and whoever has the best poker hand can win. Ultimately, Dallas wins, as we talked about, and he gets the cactus punishment, which I found kind of strange. Like, I thought, usually a cactus is green, right? Like, did that not look kind of gray?
They look gray to me, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe I've gone color.
I don't know. We don't see a lot of them here in Toronto.
No, we don't in Canada in general, so I don't know. Maybe I've just got colorblind, I'm not sure. But, alas, so Jared has a chance to win this POV, if he decides to play his wild card, which basically the consequences of playing the wild card is that he cannot participate in next week's head of household competition. Ultimately, he decides not to play the wild card. He loses, and now it's guaranteed that one of his alliance mates is going to go home. What did you think about this move by Jared this week, Neha?
Well, I mean, he, for one, obviously felt that he wasn't in danger of going on the block if the veto was used. He had that in his head that, like, I'm good. So I don't need the veto. Like, it's not do or die for me. So he didn't use it. And two, like, since he felt that way, he chose not to use it because that was the right move for him, because why the hell are you going to not play an HOH when he knows the next week he will have to fight? And, like, I wouldn't give that up either. So I think it was the right move to make. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I don't know what happened in the house, but, like, I understand that he obviously didn't feel the pressure of it because he didn't use it. But in my head, I'd be thinking, well, shit, I might need to use it, because if someone else wins the veto, then I'm going on the block. But he didn't feel that pressure, so for him it was the right move.
Right. Alex, what did you think about this? Because for me, at first, I thought, okay, well, if you really want to if your goal is to save Kelsey and someone from your alliance, just go for it. Who cares? Figure out the HOH stuff later. There's no guarantee you're going to win the HOH competition. But I feel like with this result and him not winning, this is ultimately the best case scenario for him. And I think somebody leaving from his alliance, probably Kelsey or Raul, is really going to help him out. What do you think about that, Alex?
Yeah, that's potentially good for him. Although I could also see the argument where, you know, if he's able to save them both and he creates... You know, I mean, then they have to kind of go through the motions again if they want to take their shot. I mean, and he's always got the veto. So there's the side of it where I see, certainly, you know, right after the moment he felt like he regretted it, and I certainly can kind of see why, because it was there for the taking. I think, you know, I think it is interesting because it does speak to, like, a bit of a philosophical difference in how you look at this game, and I think you can approach the game aggressively or conservatively and be successful with it. I think, like, you know, my style is usually more to, like, play from behind, so I would probably go for it, you know, try to win it, and then try to rely on my social game to, like, work my way back in and even use the fact that I can't play for HOH as an excuse as to why I'm not a threat. But you can also see where going the other way is beneficial, and either way, he's going to need to do some work with his social game.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think that hindsight is going to be 20/20. We'll see what happens with Jared's game, but I think that could be a huge turning point, good or bad. So I'm excited to see the repercussions of that. Neha, in the comp, did you notice that Jared, when Kelsey fell over, did you notice he called her sweetie?
No.
Alex, did you pick up on that?
I did not catch that.
I was maybe I heard, I just misheard that, but I could have sworn when Kelsey fell over, he's like, "Oh no, sweetie." I was like, "Oh my gosh." Oh man, hashtag bagel, seriously. Falling over in a comp and having my bae say, "Oh, sweetie." Very funny. Other thing as well. The other thing I want to talk about from the aftermath of this veto, Neha, was the Tim suggestion. Now, Tim suggests in the bathtub that, you know what, you know, maybe it's a good idea for me to go up as a pawn. That way, you know, I want to have fun. I'm a wild card. What do you think that this says about Tim's game? The fact that he is volunteering, basically, to go up as a pawn.
It just shows he's, like, extremely comfortable in where he is with these people in the house. And it's not even an option for him that, hey, I might go home. Like, he's not even thinking that way. You know what I mean? Just like, I mean, Jordan, you think so too. Like, you did it. Like, you didn't think you'd go home. And I think Tim is, like, in that exact same position where he's feeling really, really, really safe. And he's just, like, this goofy, fun guy. And he's trying to give that out. And he's getting the reciprocation from the other house guests that, yeah, this is the case. You're good. And this could work for you.
Do you think that this attitude could ultimately come back to bite him in future weeks? Because it's only week 4.
The attitude that he has currently, like, going out throughout the game?
Yeah, just the comfort, comfortable feeling that he has.
Yeah, you can't, not in this game. It's not possible, especially, like, Big Brother Canada is likely very different than Big Brother Australia, where, like, things can turn around in 1 second for you, like a twist or something that's not going to go in your favor. So you have to kind of be a little, I think the goal, like, now, like, realizing the goal is stay off the block no matter what. If you're not on the block, you can't go home. So I think that's the mentality that players have to have in this game.
Alex, did this continue for long? Did Tim bring this up more than once, or is it just something he threw out while he was in the bathtub on the feeds?
I mean, it was certainly discussed for a little while, but it wasn't – I didn't get the impression it was ever – you know, the idea was that Dallas would need to use the veto, and Dallas seemed to only want to do that if he had confirmation that Jared was going to go up. So I only really got the impression that this was talked about for this week at least as, you know, a contingency in case Dallas kind of, like, pulled a fast one at the last minute with the veto. However, like, the discussion did continue about, like, wouldn't Tim be potentially a great pawn for future weeks or for a double or stuff like that. So the conversation did continue in the sense that, like, all right, maybe not for this week, but I like the idea going forward.
Neha, what do you think about – because I feel like they could – I mean – and who knows, maybe they couldn't have, but I feel like maybe, you know, Joel and Mitch could have gone to Dallas and said, hey, what do you think about using the veto? We just want to guarantee that Kelsey goes home. Do you think that maybe they should have tried this just to make sure that Kelsey goes home? Or do you think that based on the track record of so far this season, three HOHs and three targets all staying in the house, do you think that it was a bad idea going down that route?
Nah, I don't think so. Like, I think Mitch is very smart, very strategic, and I think he'll get what he wants, you know what I mean? And I think he'll do it in a smooth way, and I don't think they really need to. Like, I think at the end of the day, the reality is that it doesn't matter if Raul or Kelsey goes home for the rest of the house. Like really speaking, it doesn't affect them that much. They would be happy with either one of them going. So I don't think that it was, like, that much of a pressing matter. For Raul, obviously, like, anyone on the block should push for it no matter what. If you're on the block, you're never safe. So I think he should have pushed for it more. So he probably should have worked on Mitch a little more to help him out in that regard. But I don't think that they're too – I don't think Mitch is too concerned because, you know, if Kelsey doesn't go – like, I know he wants her to go, but at the end of the day, his ass is not on the block.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, let's get into a few of your questions before we talk about what's happening on the live feed. So this one comes from BB Fan on YouTube. BB Fan says, Neha, who do you think is in the best position in the house?
I think BB Fan, what's up? But I think we already discussed it. I still think it's Joel. I think he is in the best position. He is literally sitting in the middle. Him and Mitch, like, they're both together. Mitch is kind of, like, showing, I don't know if we can talk about this because it might have been on the feeds, but he's kind of showing, like, he's trying to form other alliances, but I still think he's good with the other people. I think there's bigger heads, like, in the, like, Dallas types, Jared types, LaVita types, that are, like, in people's faces that I think these guys can still sit back and relax. He's not on the target side of, like, Dallas's lines with Maddie and Ramsey. He's not on Jared's radar, I don't think, anymore. He's definitely not on LaVita, Tim's, or Nikki's radar. So I think, like, Joel's good, and I think Mitch is good too.
Alex, what do you think, just based on what you've been seeing on the feeds, who do you think's in the best spot?
I mean, obviously, I don't want to get into spoilers and stuff, but kind of like at the point where the episode ended, you know, I agree with Neha. Like, you certainly have to like Joel's position coming out of his HOH, because it does seem like a lot of the backlash, if there is any at all, would go LaVita's way. And yeah, I think Mitch looks really good as well because he's able to demonstrate in this episode very effectively his pull in the house. You know, he says, I want Kelsey to go because Kelsey to me is the linchpin between these two players and I want to be able to get in that spot. And then he sets about executing. So it really is a good edit where it just kind of demonstrates, like, Mitch has an idea, a plan, and he's able to see it through and execute, you know, which is, I mean, always a sign of good things.
All right, we got one more here before we get into the live feeds. This one comes from Eric Colburn, at Doc Colburn on Twitter. Eric says, why is nobody using the POV in BB Can 4? Which non-use would you have changed? Yeah, Neha, this is really interesting. I believe the first three seasons of Big Brother Canada, the power veto was used in week one, and now here we are we're going to be going into week five, and it still hasn't been used. Why do you think that is?
Well, one difference is in BB Can 3, at least for the first two vetoes, it was used because the people who won the veto were on the block. So, of course, you're going to use it. So that's the major difference. The people that are winning the vetoes right now, they're not on the block. So the reality is they're not in a dire state to use the veto. Second of all, I think maybe finally after like thinking about it, these players are also realizing that even if you win the veto, you aren't the one who makes the decision. I know Dallas seemed to not understand that, but the reality is you can't use it. And we talked, like, people on Twitter were talking smack about Dallas, him saying last week, I want to make a big move, I want to use his veto. But the reality is LaVita was not for it. She did not want to backdoor Jared, so she's the reason why he could not use it. He would have used it. Like, if even if Joel said to him, yo, you know what, this week use the veto, I'm putting a, you know, your target is Jared, I'll put him up, we'll send him home, Dallas would use it. So he absolutely would have used it, but he couldn't use it because, you know, he wanted Jared to go home, and that's not what was going to happen. In terms of, what was it, week one? What happened in week one with these guys? Who won the veto?
Week one, brothers won the veto, and it was Paige.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Week two, Christine won it. Christine didn't give a shit about what the hell was going on. She wasn't going to save LaVita and Shari. She wasn't about to do that. So it's a totally different, like, dynamic. No one's like, you know, they're not going to lose any blood by using the veto because their life is not on the line. So they're not going to use it, which I think kind of makes sense too.
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to, is just the people that have been nominated just haven't won
the veto.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I think that it's going to things are going to go back to, it's just the law of averages say that eventually this thing is going to get used. Somebody who is nominated is going to win, or an ally of theirs is going to win, and they're going to use it. So
yeah.
I think that's really what it comes down to. And then to answer the second part of that question, I think if for me personally, I wish the veto was used in week one to save Paige, because I love Paige.
Yes. Yes.
Paige is great. I love Paige. I'm so sad that Paige isn't on the show.
That was devastating, because like she was like, and also it's hard to see like a super fan who like knows a show so much to go like that. Like, that's like painful, I think.
Yeah, right.
And I know it's painful. We know it's painful.
We know. Right? Well, it's painful enough, Neha, going out early, but we didn't go week one. I mean, and you think about this, Paige is the first person in Big Brother Canada, at least, that was a big super fan that went home like first week. I mean, that's just so upsetting, and it just sucks to see that. I mean,
yeah.
It sucks for anyone to be first out, but especially if you're just such a huge fan of the show and you've waited so long to play, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, see you later. Okay, let's jump into the live feed portion of the show. So if you do not want to know who is going to be going home this week, at least based on what things are looking right now, then we'll say goodbye to you for now, but stick around. Come on, really? I mean, there's not really that many spoilers. And who knows? With this season, things are changing all the time. But if, for whatever reason, you do want to leave, we will see you next time. Rob Cesternino will be live on Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. He'll be talking to Andy Heron to break down the eviction. Yeah, it's going to be a good show. Yeah, so to break down the eviction and all of the everything going on in the house and the fake double eviction. So that should be really interesting, and we'll get into that in a little bit, Neha. So definitely tune in for that. And Sunday, don't forget to join me as well. I'll be live after the East Coast airing of the show at 5:15 Pacific, 8:15 Eastern. I'll be talking to The Shield. So I'll be talking to Alec Beal and Peter Brown. Should be fun times. As always, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Get the video of this if you're listening in the audio archives. Go to Reality TV Rehapups on YouTube. Okay, it's spoiler time.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
Alex, what's happening on the feeds right now? Who's going home, Raul or Kelsey?
Well, it seems at this point, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's been a crazy season and anything can change, but it seems like this week, for the first time since we've been doing this, it seems pretty clear on Wednesday night that what's going to happen on Thursday has already taken shape. I think it's very, very clear that Kelsey's going to go home.
Kelsey is going to go home. So the first time this season, Neha, the HOH's initial target is actually going to leave the game. What do you think about Kelsey going home? How do you think this is going to impact the game?
I think it's going to be very beneficial for Jared. I think he needs to lose her. I really do. I think that the kid has some, like, he has potential, and, like, he has some smarts to him, and I feel like I'm not trying to diss Kelsey at all. Like, she seems like an okay girl, but like in terms of the game, like that connection is just not, like, he definitely needs to lose her. That whole third wheel alliance, like, it's not good for all three of them, for either, for whoever, like, for Raul too, like, to be connected with those two people, it's not good for him in his game. So I think it's good for Jared in terms of the house. I don't really think it matters, Kelsey or Raul. Like, they're both connected to Jared in a way. So either one goes, I don't think it matters to the rest of the house, wherever one goes.
Don't you think, though, Neha, for the people in the middle, wouldn't it be better if Raul went home? Because then you have still two clear sides. You have Kelsey and Jared, and you have Dallas, Maddie, and Ramsey, and then your Joels and your Mitches of the world can kind of just hang out in the middle and not have to worry about anything. Wouldn't that be the better scenario for those guys in the middle?
It might be like a notch, just a notch better, because, but I think Raul and Jared are just as big, like almost just as big as a of alliance as Kelsey and Jared. You, like, it's never that often that you see like a solid, like, obvious threesome the way these guys are a threesome. Like, twosomes, yeah, but they were like such a threesome that it was like those three, they're named the third wheel. Like, I think they're openly the third wheel, right? I don't know if that's true, but they are like literally a three-person alliance that's very out there. So if one goes, you know the other two are still together. So I don't know that it makes that much of a difference.
I don't think it makes that much of a difference. I don't know the answer to whether or not the third wheel name is out there, but I think everybody probably knows that they're all together.
Yeah.
And so, Alex, what do you think about that? Just based on what you've seen on the feeds, how close are Jared and Raul?
So they're very close, but I think there is definitely truth to what Mitch is saying in his diary room there, which is that Kelsey is the true fulcrum there. I mean, certainly if you're looking at it as a threesome, you know, then that certainly, you know, that's a way you have to look at it from pure numbers. But you can also start to break down the threesome and look for cracks. And obviously the closest is Jared and Kelsey, because they have, you know, sexual tension. Like, that kind of goes number one in the hierarchy, right? And then Kelsey and Raul. I mean, they are very, very tight. You know what I mean? They're buddies on a level that Raul and Jared just aren't. So by process of elimination, taking out Kelsey is the, you know, you have to just operate in likelihoods. You don't know how relationships are going to unfold, but you could see a scenario where taking out Kelsey could lead Jared to gravitate more towards kind of the bro-y guys of the house, and Mitch could really kind of get in there with Raul. I mean, they have a bond over being the two gay guys in the house. You know, Mitch has talked about really wanting to be able to pick up Raul as kind of a loose kind of free agent to an extent once his buddy Kelsey is gone. So you could see an angle where Mitch is able to kind of work his way in there. I think another part of the problem with the idea of trying to ride the middle any longer is just that people are catching on to it. Even if they weren't like the most game savvy individuals, like you've even seen a conversation at this point where even though Jared and Dallas are still definitely totally going after each other, they've talked about the idea that it's dumb, that they're helping everybody else by doing it. You know what I mean? So if you don't make a move soon, it's very, very possible that one of those guys wins and then has a conversation where it kind of all gets flipped on you, and now the middle is the bottom. So they want to be proactive. And so Mitch started to gravitate to one side. Joel started to kind of gravitate towards LaVita and the other side. And so they're still kind of double dealing. They've just kind of like on the surface, they've declared their teams. You know what I mean? Which kind of makes people happy in the house.
Neha, what do you think about this development? If now that the middle is going to basically dissolve and we're going to have two sides warring, do you think that will... Because, I mean, this season has been pretty entertaining so far, and based on that information, it sounds like it's just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's not going to be that clear cut. It's not going to be one side versus one side. It's always going to happen where there's going to be mini alliances that form, and like people like, you know, people that are going at each other are going to make up, and then they're going to break up, and this, that, and the other is going to happen. I don't think we're ever, ever, ever in our lives going to see a Big Brother USA season 6 again where it's one side versus the other, which I'm, like, dying to see it. If this happens, like, my life will be made, because I'm, like, dying for that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it was Johnny who I was talking to this about, but I think I said to Johnny, and maybe he was on a podcast, maybe this was offline, but we were saying, you know what would be amazing, Neha, if they just put back everybody from season 6 in the Big Brother house for BB18, and then yes. They just played again.
Yes, 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 yes.
That would be unreal. I'd love to see that. Okay, Alex, tell me about... I heard that Jared and Kelsey finally locked lips.
Yeah, that happened. That was earlier today. It is like it's kind of at a point where Kelsey is, I think, pretty much resigned to going home. And it was a bit frustrating to me, to be honest, that she didn't really campaign. Like, obviously, I know it's hard when you're up against your best friend. Like, being up against Paige was a different thing, and she was able to really kind of make moves and save herself when she was the target, which I think, if nothing else, like, if we're going to eulogize Kelsey's game, like, she didn't know Big Brother, and she was able to do that week one. And I think that speaks pretty well to kind of her social ability. I think maybe if she understood the game better, she might have been a better player. I think there was just a couple times where she just put her foot in her mouth or, you know, said the wrong thing to the wrong people. But, I mean, ultimately, it's just, you know, they're at the point now where they're resigned to the situation. And so, you know, they had a little bit of a party this afternoon in the DR, I guess the feeds went down for it, and then kind of afterwards, they were kind of thinking the cameras weren't on them. They thought it was like – Kelsey actually thought Big Brother was giving them a moment, but there was totally still a camera like right on their faces, and they pulled up Joel's teddy bear and kind of made it like the third wheel in this situation and used Joel's teddy bear to cover themselves as they made out for a minute there. And,
oh my gosh, that's so funny.
The Big Brother house can be checked off the bucket list, I suppose.
Giving them a minute to thinking that Big Brother would give them a minute when they're kissing. I mean, clearly, Neha, these people have like barely seen the feeds or the show before, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So funny. I mean, it reminds me of last year. I was in the backyard and Zach Olenek came to me and said, "Hey, you know, are the feeds on in the have not room at night? Like,
what an idiot!
Like, you know, just curious, you know, are they on?" I was like, "Yes, yeah. Why are you asking, buddy?" Oh man, good times.
Oh my God.
Okay, Alex, anything else really developing from the feeds in terms of alliances? Are there any? Has the Nick and Maddie thing managed to turn around at all, or no?
Yeah, and that's actually been interesting. It's like one of the big fights today, really, from my perspective. Well, I mean, it didn't blow up, but it was certainly heated. It was between the brothers. I think really the key of the brothers' twist is that Big Brother just knew these guys would butt heads. I mean, Phil, they're just both so over having to share their game. And production came out and has shared the information with the other house guests that they will not be splitting at any point this season. So
Whoa!
This is now like public knowledge that they're in it for the long haul, which does them a huge favor. Production really threw them a bone there.
Yeah.
But they were arguing today. I mean, Phil is just over Nick with the Maddie stuff. He believes that's painting an unnecessary target. And then also, Nick's an easy scapegoat. He's the younger brother. Like, when things backfire, it's just easy for Phil to be like, dude, it's all your fault. And then on Nick's end, he's just tired of Phil controlling their vote. I mean, Phil is insisting that all the decisions get made by him. Anytime Nick has any conversation with anyone, Phil is coming over and saying, like, you're blowing up our games. Like, so it's really frustrating for both of them, and you can see how this twist could just drive them both crazy if they stayed in the house much longer. Another interesting development today was that, you know, you already knew that kind of Ramsey, Maddie, Dallas was a bit of a three-headed monster on the opposite side from the third wheel, but an official alliance has been made between Levita, Dallas, and Joel, and they're calling themselves the COGs, which is Canadian Original Gangsters, which I don't know if it will or will not make the show, because they're very particular about, you know, phrasing and stuff like that.
Okay, Neha, which name is better or worse, Diaper Alliance or Canadian Original Gangsters?
I think they're both equally as shitty.
Yeah, I like Purple Cobras myself.
Purple Cobras was good, man. The dodgeball reference, I loved that. I don't know if anyone in the chat
dodgeball.
Or in Neha, if you watch dodgeball, but
oh, yeah.
That one I was proud of.
Blade. Laser. Blazer.
Phaser.
The team.
Great movie.
Stacked
great
movie lineup.
At Dodgeball. Neha, what do you think about the brothers right now? What do you think about their position in the game? Because I think that is really interesting information that now the other house guests all know that these guys are not splitting up. They're going to continue this entire game as one player.
Yeah, I mean, initially I thought for sure they would be a target. Like, why would you not take out two brothers? Like, obviously the general thought would be they're going to split up. Maybe not in this house. Maybe they don't think that way or didn't think that way because the players aren't really super fans or don't really know the game that well. But, yeah, like, they would have been a target. They've kind of slid through. I think they're now riding the middle. They're actually riding the middle more than maybe Mitch and Joel are, whereas Mitch and Joel have made – like a choice, you know what I mean? So I think they're in a good position. I think that the fact that the Big Brother said, hey, you guys are not splitting up, that's a big bonus for the brothers. And I think, but the problem might be them bickering. But like, I know a lot of people on the feeds were kind of like talking smack about Phil as like he talks down to his brother and this, that, and the other. But the reality is like, if there's anyone you can talk shit to in real life, it's your sibling. So in the Big Brother house, I don't think that's any different. Like in the Big Brother house, you can't really talk shit to people that are your friends, because who's really your friend in the Big Brother house? There's still someone that you're competing against. But I totally can understand Phil talking shit to his brother, because he's the only person he can talk shit to and like say to him, no, you have to do this. And it's like it's a brotherly bond. Like, that's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I totally hear you. I think it's a sibling thing, right? I mean, that's how siblings interact sometimes, yeah. Especially when you're in that pressure cooker of an environment, which is, you know, the Big Brother house. Alex, just to clarify, so are Nick and Maddie there? So are they kind of back on then, or no?
No, definitely not. No,
okay,
Maddie,
so they're not. They're,
I mean,
not.
Maddie, they're definitely not. Yeah, Maddie definitely has a boyfriend outside of the house. Like, I don't want to rush to judgments. Like, I don't. It could be a very open relationship. She could have established before she went in that I'm gonna flirt for strategy. So, like, I don't want to, you know, jump on anything here.
For
but
sure.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, she definitely, like, she had a conversation with Phil where she basically was saying, like, look, I'm trying to. And she had a conversation with Ramsey where she said, like, I'm over the Nick thing. Like, I flirted with that. Like, I just hooked up with him for strategy, but he's getting really annoying now. And then she had a conversation with Phil where she basically laid it out there, like, look, I've got a boyfriend, like, I can't be doing this thing. And then, like, Phil pulls Nick up into the conversation and was like, Maddie has a boyfriend, you need to stop. Like, it was really, like, a bit emasculating for Nick. But, yeah, I mean, that definitely seems to be done. And if Maddie's, like, flirting with anybody these days, it's Ramsey.
Ooh. So Maddie,
they've always been like close, you know. They've always had these like conversations on the DL, but like today they were like, you know, playing footsie a little bit in the what's it, the that poker room, the circular room,
the high roller room,
the high roller room. Thank you, sir. Yeah, and you know, they're talking about kind of, you know, where they might hook up in Toronto, like what balcony after the show's over and stuff like that. So yeah, a little bit of tension there. Or, you know, I mean, they both might just kind of be playing the game because they both seem to want to use flirtation in the game and have no problems doing it. So, yeah,
wow.
I think that's kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, really, really interesting development there. Neha, I know you were at least a big Ramsey fan a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Are you still a Ramsey fan? And what do you think about this potentially for his game ultimately going down the road?
I don't know how much, like, him flirting with Maddie would, like, help his game, because they're already in an alliance together. If anything, it would maybe cause some, like, it'd be a negative effect on him, because if Dallas finds out, he might be like, okay, obviously these two are closer. If the other housemates, I think showmance has put a target on your back in some way, whether, you know, if it's good or bad, I'm not sure, for the players that are involved. But I don't think that it's going to benefit him at all by having it be a showmance. They're already friends. I think keep it at that. In terms of me liking him, I do really like him. I think I like him in the sense that I usually like people that I think I'd like outside of the house, if that makes – I mean,
for no,
that,
for sure. Totally.
People
that's
that
the thing.
Can relate to or, like, kick it back with and be cool. So, yeah, I definitely like him. We haven't seen much of him, and I think that's a good thing, right? If we don't see much of you, that means you're not really on anyone's radar. So I don't think he's been really playing. He probably is playing, but, like, we just don't see it on the show. Like, we don't – because, yeah, he's not in anyone's eyes right now.
Alex, I've heard some people say that Ramsey is kind of like – he potentially could be the poor man's Godfrey Manguiza. Based on what you've seen of Ramsey on the feeds, do you think he can really turn his game up going down towards the end of this game, or do you think that's a little bit of hyperbole?
Well, I'm amazed I remember this, Jordan, but we got this question last Wednesday, is who's playing the most Godfrey-like game, and I said I thought it was Ramsey, because he really, you know, in the first week, he apparently made final two deals with everyone, and then he's totally backed off, and he's playing a low-key, flirty, social game now that is, you know, Godfrey wasn't necessarily flirty, but he was funny, you know what I mean? And as long as you're, like, you have a way to get across to people and be engaging, then you have an in, you know what I mean? And you can start trying to work stuff. And it seems like Ramsey is one of these guys, maybe like Godfrey, who's really learning the game as he goes. And, you know, it seemed clear in week two, watching the feeds, he would walk in on conversations and people would stop talking. He would get really weird about it. And he wasn't good at, you know, obviously it's awkward, but that's the game. You've got to be able to just be, like, natural, even though you know they might be talking about you because they just stopped talking, which is very difficult to do. But, like, he seems like someone who's really learning this on the fly, like, really figuring out how to do it. And yeah, I mean, he's really strengthened his bond with LaVita over the last week. Like, him and LaVita are very tight now. I think, you know, Dallas says Maddie's his number one, but I think if you were to ask Maddie, Ramsey is probably her number one. I think he's just done very good work. He's opened up lines of communication with Jared on a level that nobody else on his side has done, to the point where if Jared won HOH, like, he's certainly going to come after Dallas, but I don't know that Ramsey would necessarily be targeted alongside him. So I think Ramsey has really done some very good work, and, you know, whether or not it's making the show, it's certainly effective.
All right. Wow. Interesting stuff. Before we get into a few final questions for you, Neha, let's talk about tomorrow night. We're getting a special 90-minute episode of Big Brother Canada. First 90-minute episode that is not a finale episode ever, which is really interesting. And I actually just read today that apparently next week is also going to be a 90-minute episode. So I don't know
what is going on.
Right? So I don't know what the implications of that are. This is my theory, at least, is perhaps we're having a fake double eviction. So somebody's going to get voted out, Kelsey or Raul. I imagine it's probably going to be Kelsey, as Alex was saying. So that's going to happen. Then they're going to do a double eviction. That person is going to be sequestered somewhere, I guess, or get fake evicted. They're going to hide in the house for a week, and then next week on the 90-minute episode, they're going to come back in. I feel like that would probably make the most sense. What do you think about this twist, though, Neha? Are you a fan of this idea? Are you excited?
I'm excited that, like, it's something that we haven't seen in Canada before, where it's a fake eviction, but I'm kind of just like, man, like, that's some bullshit. Like, we got taken out by Twist in our season, and now people are being brought into the game with Twist. It's, like, so beneficial for these people. Like, they brought in the brother, they brought in Nikki and Tim, and now they're bringing in another player. So, it'll be good TV, but, I don't know, like, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
How amazing would it be if what happens is it's the double eviction, and then LaVita goes out and they think, oh yeah, LaVita's gone, and they're so happy, and then the next week LaVita comes back and wins HOH. Would that not be the greatest thing ever?
That's gonna be great. Everyone on Twitter is already saying that. That's what everybody wants to happen.
That would really cement her Rachel Riley arc.
Yes, exactly, right, Alex? It's sort of Rachel Riley-esque. That would be unreal if that were to happen. And I am praying, please, all of you, if you're listening to this, you're watching this live, before you go to sleep at night, pray to the BB gods that LaVita gets voted out tomorrow night on the fake eviction, and then she comes right back in next week, because that would be, oh, I would just love that so much.
But do we know that it's not, like, we don't even know that if it's not, like, a complete thing where even maybe Kelsey could come back. Who knows?
It's true. You know? And that would be
a complete fake double. What if they're both, like, not out, and then the week after is 90 minutes because they're wiping out four people. Quadruple eviction.
Quadruple eviction. There we go. Dr. Neha Sarin. This is why she's a doctor. She knows what's up. quadruple eviction. Breaking news next week. There we go. But honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. Maybe it'll be a triple. They'd hide, two of them, two go back next week, and then it's a triple next week. Like, that would be, oh man, that would be something else. Alex, what do you think the likelihood is of Kelsey and insert random player here, both being fake evicted tomorrow night?
Yeah, possible. I mean, they left it vague, you know what I mean? So it could break several different ways. I think, you know, if we're just speculating, I think my preference would be to see the person, you know, whether it's both of them or, you know, maybe just the second person, like when they're evicted but not actually evicted, that they don't necessarily go somewhere for a week, but they're just still in the house. Like, they just don't stop them right at the door and turn them back around.
Oh, my God.
Because
yes.
I think that would really create a lot of drama. Like, that's a double eviction is like people are thinking quickly. People are needing to make moves. People are you know, by default showing cards about like where they're going with their nominations and their votes. And it's happening so fast. And like people might accidentally reveal, like somebody might take like a shot at somebody because it's a safe time to take a shot. And then if it turns out that person doesn't go, then you've already kind of exposed yourself. Like, I think that could create great drama.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't even think about that possibility because I was just always thinking, okay, you know, the international format, they're going to sequester this person inside the house somewhere. But if they actually just have them go out, talk to Rissa, turn right back around and go back in. Ooh, man. Neha, could you imagine if that happened to you, how amazing that would have been?
That's what I'm saying. That instant should have been that, where I came right back or came back. Like, that's what should have happened.
Nice try. I'm still here.
That would be so great. And Greg is still going on and be like, man, like I'm not good at spelling. I'm not good at spelling. I'm sorry. And then like all of a sudden you come back in and be like, you know how to spell my name now, Greg? Oh man, that would be great.
Well, when they do this fake double, what they should do is, you know how for some like they made you guys like reveal the votes, so I knew who voted for me to go out.
They should do that, right? That would be great. Oh, I think that would be a really cool move.
Right. Yeah, it won't end up having any stakes, but it will force you to, you know, reveal your card. Yeah, I mean, show where you lie. Absolutely. I love
Absolutely.
That.
And then that person comes back and it's like, well, I know you voted me out, so.
Yeah, I think that would be crazy. Oh, man. I'm so excited. The possibilities are really endless with this thing. And especially now that there's also going to be a 90-minute episode next week, it's really got the wheels turning in my head.
Yeah, what's going to happen? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that'll be the instant. And also, two other thing, right? Like, this is the first time in Big Brother Canada history that the instant eviction is not happening on Easter long weekend.
Yeah.
That's happened every year, 3 years in a row. Everybody thought, okay, it's happening this year. That's not the case. And the feeds are going to be up this weekend, on Easter weekend, for the first time ever. So that's great news for you, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited.
Or maybe it's bad news. Maybe you're like, I want a break. I don't want to watch feeds.
Wow, what am I doing? Come on. I got nothing going on.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions before we while we wind things down here. Okay, this one comes from Sean E. Sean E. on YouTube. And Sean E. says, hashtag Daddy Dallas can't seriously think that Canada loves him for continuing to moan about no one making a big move or big enough move. And then twice in a row, not even using the veto. He was so pumped about winning. Does he? Question mark. Okay, that's a little bit of a long run-on sentence. Basically,
does he think Canada loves him?
Yeah, and how can he think that? Neha, what do you think about that?
I think that in that house, like I think a lot of people's perception of themselves is flawed, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also a lot of the perceptions that the main people who are tweeting about it, like the super fans or the people that are on Twitter, is based on, I guess it's based on live feeds, it's based on the show, but it's kind of based on how certain people are portrayed in the house as well. So you know how like a lot of people are right now hating on Kelsey and Jared. Are they that bad? I don't know. I don't watch the feeds enough to know if they're that bad. And how people are loving LaVita. I have seen sometimes on the feeds where I was like, eh, like what is she doing sort of thing. So there's reasons to not like her as much too. So I think my whole point is that our perceptions in the house sometimes are flawed. Like you might think, for sure Canada loves me. Like why would you not love me? I'm amazing. But that might just not be the case. In terms of whoever's tweet that was about the veto thing, I think we already touched on that. I don't hate on Dallas for not making that big move of not using the veto, because I don't think it was like, even though he had the veto, the power was not in his hands because he was not the deciding factor of who was in the block.
For sure. Yeah, and just to piggyback off of that with what Neha said, I think a big thing with people that get cast on reality TV shows, regardless of the show, is that a big factor in why these people get on these shows is the fact that they have no self-awareness. So yeah. I think a lot of people are like, ah, I'm so great. I'm awesome. Canada's going to love me. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. But you know what? Dallas is – he's turning – he's, you know, at first I was not the biggest Dallas fan, but – He's growing on me too. Him getting fed like he's a baby on the show tonight. I mean, that was hilarious. And going down the stairs in the costume, like, oh, that was really great. I really liked that a lot. Okay, this one's from Twitter. It's from Jordan Chong at Jordan T Chong on Twitter, and he says, Neha, what would you do differently if you got cast on BB Can Second Chances?
Well, it's all dependent on who else is in that season. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have played it where they don't like me anyway, so they're probably trying to get me out, and I'm kidding. Or am I? so, it's dependent on the cast, really. You know, the thing is that all the Canadian players now, they kind of know each other, and they kind of know who we are as people outside of, like, the house. So it's like you can't go in and, like, change who you are, really. You can't go in and be like, well, I'm, like, a timid, shy girl. Like, that's never going to happen. You guys know who I am. So it's definitely, I think, that game is definitely going to be built on if there ever is a Second Chances, All-Stars, all that stuff. It's just going to be built on the dynamic of the house, like, the players that are in the house. I hope it's not based on, like, pre-existing relationships, because I think that'd be boring. Like, I hope they pull people in from, like, all scopes of Big Brother, like, not best friends, this, that, and the other, because that would make it more interesting. So I don't know. I'm so sorry. I can't give you a good answer, because I really don't think I will even have a strategy going in. I don't think it's possible to have a strategy going into a game like that when you already know the people that you're playing with.
Jordan, to basically answer your question in a nutshell, Neha just does not want to give away her strategy for All-Stars, so you do not know. Neha's smarter than that. She's not giving it away on a podcast where everyone can go back and listen to it. Alex, what do you want from Big Brother Canada All-Stars? Would you want, like, would you want to see, like, a second chance theme, or do you think you'd want to just see, like, best of the best, let them duke it out and see, let the best man win?
I want a good mix. I don't think, like, for me, placement doesn't necessarily dictate skill level or ability. You know what I mean? Like, to me, you know, and this is me. Obviously, like, this is a very, very personal question that everyone's going to have a slightly different answer to. I've always viewed Big Brother as, like, in a perfect setup, it's the Super Bowl of lying to me. You know what I mean? So I want to see people who are in there, like, with all due respect, I don't want to see Nikki's in there. People that don't seem like they have a ton of fight and drive and the ability to kind of subvert and maneuver within the social confines of the game. So, yeah, I'd be much more inclined to want to see a player like Neha, who you know is going to fight for her spot, than, you know, somebody who maybe just kind of, like, latched onto another player and rode it. You know what I mean? So that's my personal preference.
Yeah, and one other thing I just want to say about that, it's going to be interesting when it does happen, because, like Neha said, the Big Brother Canada community is very tight. It's kind of similar to what you know, how Survivor was, pre-Survivor All-Stars, where everybody knew each other, lots of people hung out, there was lots of these friendships, and then when the game happened, it got super personal, because all these people really knew each other in real life. So I hope that doesn't happen, because that kind of got a little bit ugly. I'm excited to watch it when it does happen, and I am praying to the BB gods. I don't even know if I would want to go. But thank you. You're too kind, Neha.
No,
but I don't think I would get asked.
You're saying, like, oh, the people, like, you know, that, like, played the best game is people who won. I don't necessarily think that's true, and I don't necessarily think that it makes you, like, just because people went out early, like, maybe it's their personality that makes them a contender
but,
for the game again.
But again, like, I didn't bring much personality to the show. I don't even know if I would want to do it. But I just want to say, again, when you guys are making your prayers tonight about LaVita getting voted out and coming right back in, please also pray to the BB gods for me that we will get to see Joel play this game again, because I love – and the Ginger Ninja, of course. But, yes, Joel, most definitely, because I love Joel so much. And he's doing such a good job this season, and I'm so proud of him. He's repping those super fans very well. All right, guys, that is going to do it for tonight's edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. We thank you very much for joining us. Neha, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. Where can people find you, and do you have anything going on that you'd like to plug?
So you can find me on Twitter or Instagram. It's at Neha Serene. The spelling is NaehaSareen.
Thank you for Greg Merritt. He's definitely listening to this podcast, so we want to make sure that he spells it right.
I spell my name by now, Greg. And what am I up to and what am I doing? And I'm being a chiropractor every single day. I'm saving people's lives. So I'm doing that, and I'm also making chocolates. Everyone knows I have a chocolate company. It's called Indulgence Truffles, www.indulgencetruffles.com, at Indulgence Truffles on Instagram, and at Indulgence Tea on Twitter.
And those chocolates are really good. They're amazing. Neha gave me some this summer, and oh, man, like they were they were like these pink ones with like, I don't know what, he had like some vanilla or something. They had like those balls or whatever they were. But oh, gosh, they were so great. I love those.
We'll
so definitely.
Get you some more soon. I'm going to see you in a couple weeks, right? So.
Oh, that would be marvelous, Neha. I would greatly appreciate that. Thank you. Alex, any final thoughts you want to touch upon before we head out of here?
I guess I'm actually kind of glad I don't know Neha in person because I would just sit in my room and eat truffles all day. So it's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I don't live in Toronto, because then I would just I would balloon back to the – well, I gained like 20 pounds in Drury House because all I ate was just like chocolate and bad food all day because I'm a very emotional eater. And that's probably what I would just do in my normal life if I just lived with Neha, except Drury House would just never end and I would just keep getting
larger and larger. Everybody in Toronto gets a lot of chocolate, let's say.
Yeah, so there you go. Okay, so don't forget, follow Alex on Twitter as well. He's at Alex Kidwell. Okay, we need a hashtag, guys, for tonight's episode of the Rehappy Hour. If you guys in the chat room want to give us some suggestions, I see hashtag JP's back bosom.
Yeah, I was going to say your buddy Kevin seems partial to back bosom.
Back bosom. So I don't know. We didn't even really talk about that, I guess, too much. Well, we did it off the top. So you know what? Why not? I'm trying to think. Was there anything else we really talked about that was interesting? Probably not. So let's just roll with that because nobody wants to hear us ramble on and picking what the hashtag is. So tweet us. Let us know what you guys thought about this episode. And don't forget to leave some comments on robiswebsite.com as well. One thing of note as well, I want to remind you guys, please leave a review for the Rehappy Hour. You can go to robiswebsite.com/rehappyhour, so that's happy hour with an R at the front. You can subscribe to the podcast there so you make sure you never listen to an episode on iTunes, and then you can leave a rating and a review. At the end of the season, I'm going to be drawing three names out of a hat from the people that have left reviews, and you guys are going to be winning a special Jordan Parhar related prize. So very, very exciting. Not revealing what the prize is just yet, but hopefully it's worth playing for once I announce it and you guys know what it is. So don't forget to leave your name as well, so I have a way of knowing who you are if you can, or just have like a username I can use, because there have been a few reviews where people have just said like listener, and it's like if you win, I don't know your name, so I can't really reward you with the prize. So just one thing of note there. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again Sunday night talking to The Shield live after the episode. We'll talk about the aftermath of the fake double eviction, the new HOH, the nominations, all that kind of stuff. Should be a really fun show. All right, for Neha Serene and Alex Kidwell, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag JP's back bosom. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.